broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And we're very grateful that you joined us this evening, and we are very, very happy to welcome on board a great many new affiliates, including the fact that we're back in Seattle, and we're very, very happy to be back in Seattle. And a shout-out to my erstwhile producer and brother there in Seattle, Jason Rance, who I got your email today, Jason, about the fundraiser you guys are doing. So I want to put a little something in their envelope up there. And we're very, very happy to have those of you who are joining us for the first time on the radio network with us. And if you'd like to join us online at philhendryshow.com, you can do that too. And you can watch live streaming video of our show as we do the show on Phil TV and HD. In fact, we're doing it right now. And with your backstage pass, you have access to that. You have access to our video archives. You have access to our thousands and thousands of hours of archives going back to 1999, 1998, and a whole lot of other extras there at philhendryshow.com. So check it out. The story that we're going to be leading off with here, and I'm going to be talking with Jack Kepner, who is a consultant. He is a fire and fire response specialist in Birmingham, Alabama. This story out of Tennessee, did you guys hear this one? It was a family that had called for help from the local fire department because their mobile home was on fire. The firefighters came out to the scene but did not put the fire out because they hadn't, the family, and this was the Bell family, Vicki Bell, hadn't paid their fire protection fee for the year. This was in South Fulton, Tennessee. Vicki Bell told WPSD television that she called emergency dispatchers when her mobile home caught fire. The firefighters responded, but they didn't put out the blaze because she doesn't subscribe to the local fire service. Bell doesn't qualify for homeowners insurance, which is a requirement according to the city ordinance. And that also was according to CBS News that reported this initially. She says she could, quote, look out her mother's trailer and see the trucks sitting at a distance. And I got Jack Kepner on the line tonight from Birmingham. Jack, how are you doing?
Really good, Phil, and I'm glad that you called me about this because this is a very misunderstood phenomenon that's happening in the country these days because of the need for agencies to fund their services. And
well, let me just and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all right.
I want to just finish the story. Rural residents who want fire protection can get service from the nearby town of South Fulton, but they must pay a $75 a year fee. South Fulton Mayor David Crocker said that if the city's firefighters responded to people who didn't pay, there would be no incentive for anyone to subscribe. He said firefighters will help when people are in charge regardless. Now, this lady, Vicki Bell, sounds rather philosophical. She wasn't really, you know, dishing up too much criticism. She said she wasn't angry with the city. She said, like I said, I'm just happy they came out and watched out for my neighbors. She believes no amount of help from the firefighters would have prevented her trailer from burning to the ground, which it did. And she added the city has offered to help in any way they can. So, you know, here is a situation where somebody lost their home, and whether or not the firefighters could have saved that house, they made the conscious decision to respond in case, I guess... the fire got out of control, but that woman lost her home.
She did lose her home, and listen to what she said, because I think it's very important to hear how she herself saw the service, the fire service. What she said was she understood that the fire department could not act on preventing her home from burning, but she did appreciate that they were looking out for her neighbors. She also said that she did not hold the city responsible. She bore no grudge. Understand that I think this is a problem that is much ado about nothing. I think most people understand and are acquiescing to and recognize our need, those of us in the fire protection industry and business, our need is to provide the best service we possibly can and to save as many homes as we can. And the way we do that is to make sure that the homes that we're saving and the people that we are protecting have a level of appreciation for what we do and give us some indication, some sign that they appreciate our service and that they are not taking us for granted.
Well, I mean, not taking you for granted, appreciating the service. What you're basically saying here is you want to make sure that they pay.
We want to make sure that they pay, but even more importantly, we want to make sure that they understand why they're paying. Now, there are some cities, and here is something that your listeners would be interested in, Phil, because I've worked with a couple of municipalities on the idea of a pre-screen when the firefighters, the responding fire agency, comes out to the home or the affected area. The homeowner is interviewed, and we've done this in varying degrees of success. We did this here locally in Birmingham. We had a test run in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What basically is involved is when the fire first responders are there, and the individual that they are responding to has not paid this so-called fire protection tax, we're certainly amenable to asking them, are they going to pay? Do they have the money on them? If they have cash, it's impossible for firefighters and the responding in that way to take a credit card. I would never ask. I don't think we should ask our first responders to do that. But if they have cash, and then a questionnaire. The questionnaire is very short. It's simply, do you plan on paying? Do you have a level of appreciation for the service that we provide? Do you recognize what we've had to go through to come out here? And then the third question is, do you recognize what we've had to go through to come out here to find out that you apparently don't care whether your home burns because you haven't paid your fire fee?
Well, these are questions that sound almost accusatory.
Well, we don't mean to be accusatory so much as they are supposed to be revelatory. They should reveal, on some level, whether the homeowner has a real appreciation for the danger that he's put himself and his family in, as well as his neighbors. And so the questions are designed, and I wrote some up, and my colleague Bill Keene also did, because we wanted to use, and we've had a lot of people working on this, we wanted to use a variety of different questions. But basically what we're getting at is the firefighter comes out to respond, and you have not paid your fire subscription fee. We will ask that question. We'll say, all right, you don't have any money. Do you recognize what you've put us through to come out here?
Well, you know, that's, to me, that's it sounds a little funny. It sounds a little...
I understand it sounds accusatory, but this is a way of ascertaining whether this person is an individual that you're going to fight as hard as you possibly can to save their home. Because if they say, yes, I'll pay later, do you appreciate that we're here? Sure. And they're giving you a lot of these answers that are very sketchy and very fuzzy. You're not going to necessarily fight as hard as you would for someone else to...
What does that mean, you're not going to fight as hard as you should?
Well, I mean, it would mean something as simple as how fast are you getting the lines hooked up for water? How fast are you going to get that phone laid down? Firefighters talk among themselves if they're inside the house, and the word is out among the firemen that this is somebody who could care less whether they pay or not. I could see myself walking instead of running.
You're making it sound like firefighters are trained to only respond to the level of appreciation that they get, not the level of danger.
No, that is not the case. But the level of danger is directly tied to the level of appreciation, because if there's no appreciation, then there really isn't any danger. You see what I'm saying? So if someone says...
If there's no appreciation, there's no danger. The house is burning, okay?
We're not going to let the house burn other houses, but we are saying to that person, have you paid your... Understand, Phil, this only happens with people that haven't paid their fire subscription fee.
I know that, but I mean, okay, so somebody hasn't paid their fire subscription fee, so you're saying, well, now we do a questionnaire. Are you appreciative of the fact that we are here?
That is correct.
And you guys call that, what, a pre-screen?
That is a pre-screen. And that gives us vital information that we cannot do without, and we would not be able to do our job if we didn't have it. It gives us vital information about the person whose home we're about to, the person whose home we're about to go to work on in containing the blaze. You know, the firemen can lose their lives, and you don't want your firemen going in to save the home of an individual who has not paid their fire subscription fee and really is a little... to be honest with you, a little bit snotty about
Have you ever, and I don't know whether you guys have tried this in the field, but have you ever had a homeowner who said, I haven't paid my fire subscription fee, I will though, and do you appreciate that we're here? You know, and they give you one of these kind of smart-ass answers?
We've had a few.
What do you do?
Well, we tell them. In that instance, and we have, and we've done this with them, we'll say, your attitude is very destructive. We're talking about your home and the homes of everybody on the street. And your attitude toward us, the firefighter, is snooty. It's a little insolent. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to do our jobs because we're professionals. But it's going to be hard because of your attitude.
And you tell the homeowner that.
We have to because we want them to know how and what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're going to attack the situation.
All right, we're talking here with Jack Kepner. Jack is he's an advisor and a consultant in the firefighting field from Birmingham, Alabama. We brought him on to talk about a story that was quite shocking, to be honest with you, one from South Fulton, Tennessee today, where a family, a woman and her mother, watched their mobile home burn to the ground completely. And the firefighters stood and watched because they had not paid their fire subscription fee. And so you can well imagine what the bizarre and almost surreal scene that was to watch your home burn and watch firefighters stand there and do nothing. Jack Kepner with us. They have been looking at this problem, and there are a number of solutions, including ascertaining whether the homeowner has any appreciation whatsoever for the firefighters being there, and if they have enough, perhaps the firefighters can go ahead and roll out the hoses and fight the fire. We'll take your calls and comments. We'll get back and talk with Jack here about this. When we come back, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Talking with Jack Kepner tonight, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
And more on Jerry
pitch.
Sandusky next hour.
The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876. Phil, on the line with me is Jack Kepner, a consultant in the firefighting industry or firefighting. But it's not really an industry, is it, Jack? What do you call it?
Well, Bill, more than anything else, we consult with local governments, municipalities on fire safety. So, no, you're right. It is not an industry if you are talking about the sustaining public firefighting. So we are more of a government consulting or government advisory company and try to help these governments, municipalities that have these laws.
How many municipalities have or counties have fire subscription fees?
It's hard to know. The statistics are they're in flux from year to year, but anywhere from it could be anywhere from 10,000 all the way down to a few hundred, given the voters and their wants and their unwants and their likes and their dislikes, whether or not this is anything that works. I dare say that I think it's something that needs to be given a chance, because I think really once someone recognizes that unless they pay for their services, they're going to have their home burn right to the ground. I don't think a lot of people give firefighters the respect that they require.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL here with Jack Kepner, and we're going to take some phone calls here if you want to call in and comment. We are talking about a story in South Fulton, Tennessee, where a woman's mobile home burned as firefighters watched because she had not paid a fire subscription fee that is required by the county there. Here is Alan. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say civil service is civil service, and you cannot justify letting someone's house burn down. You can't justify it. And if you're looking for...
You may not be able to justify it, but that was the legal response that they had, because as you could tell from the story, the mayor of the city and the county commissioners all said that they acted appropriately.
Well, they acted inappropriately, and for you to say that...
No, they had a fire. They had a fee that they had to pay, and they didn't pay the fee.
Well, I think what the caller is saying, it was immoral. Is that what you're trying to say, Alan?
It's wrong. It's plain wrong.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, we're not in the business of right or wrong. We're in the business of the law. And but if you think about this, this law helps firefighters because it forces the homeowner, who ordinarily looks at us as if we're nothing more than just guys that are sitting around drinking beer half the day, you know, eating grilled cheese sandwiches and playing darts. And it forces them to see us as guys that if we're not there, then they're going to be sitting in a tent tonight.
You know, well, you've
they'll be in a shelter, a homeless shelter.
That's your characterization.
Well, I think it's a fair one. I think it's a fair assessment. I think if someone has a home burning, cooking right to the ground, and we come out there and we say, do you appreciate that we're here?
See, that's the part I don't get, you know.
That's ludicrous.
If you're a fire...
Right there.
Why is that ludicrous?
I don't understand how it is you have to obtain...
Why did this man call it ludicrous for us to want people to acknowledge what we're doing?
Well, because you're not in it for the acknowledgement. You're in there as a civil service.
I understand, but they haven't paid their fire subscription fee. Now they're asking me to fight the fire.
I don't think you do understand. It's not about the
No.
fee. It's about a civil
It is. The
fee.
Law The law does not allow these men to fight this fire unless the fee's been paid. However, what we've come up with is a way to, for them to fight the fire. Does the homeowner at least understand what she's done? She hasn't paid, and now these guys are out there staring at this fire in the middle of some area that they'd probably rather not be in, some backwoods. And does she understand what she's asking of these men?
Well, you're looking for an excuse to be punitive. That's
no, we're just looking for an excuse to go and do the fire.
All right, listen, thanks for your call, Alan. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to John here on line one. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a retired firefighter, paramedic.
That last caller didn't know what he was talking about.
No, but this gentleman here is you're a retired firefighter, sir?
Yes, sir. Retired firefighter, paramedic.
Okay.
And I do understand the fire subscription fees. I also understand fire codes where if a certain department is responding to a certain fire, we've had it happen up here in Iowa to where they get to a certain line. They cannot go over that line legally. They're not covered by their own liability insurance unless they are mutual aided. If they are mutual aided, then they are covered. I understand that. And also, when you're talking about a trailer, 99 times out of 100, if it's a trailer fire, by the time we respond and get there, it's fully involved. There's nothing you can do except protect existing structures around the trailer. There's not a lot.
If our protocols had been in place, that lady had said, well, you know, I really appreciate you guys are here, then we would have seen what we could do.
Yeah, right. But the things, it's burning to the ground.
Right.
It's going to burn to the ground. You're not, when it comes to a trailer fire,
right.
You can have the department next door to it. Trailers go up like a matchbox.
But wouldn't you, as a firefighter, wouldn't you at least like the homeowner to say, well, I appreciate you guys are here. I can't pay you. I didn't pay my fee.
When we're fighting a fire, we don't want any civilians in the fire ground.
No,
I don't want to talk to any civilians. The only people I want on the fire ground are my firefighters and maybe some law enforcement.
But you do want their appreciation.
We normally get it. 9 times out of 10, after we get done with a fire, we receive things at the fire station. They'll either send us a donation.
The difference is we want it beforehand. So
you want the firefighters, as they're getting off the truck and hooking up their hoses, to first get the appreciation of the homeowner.
If they haven't paid their fire subscription fee, yes, sir.
We don't have time for that. Especially
if they haven't.
If it's life safety first, if there's a possible life involved, we don't have time for that. We have to secure the fire ground, defend life safety, and then whatever happens after that, we'll deal with it after the fire's out.
You sound like a great professional. You really do. The times are changing, though, sir. You said this gentleman's name is John?
Yes.
John, the times are changing, and we want our firefighters to get due appreciation before they even start.
I disagree with that. The only way times have changed is the professional firefighters are more life safety oriented. We're out there to protect life safety first, structures second.
We want to protect you guys. We want to protect you guys too. And we don't want you guys rushing in and saving a cat or saving grandma until we do get a homeowner acknowledging our existence, you know.
Yeah, but this guy that gentleman was talking about time. Time is of the essence. We're going to be right back here with Jack Kepner, our number 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
World Famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Jack Kepner on the line with us. Jack is in the fire protection business as a consultant to a variety of cities and towns across the United States. Now, the story we did read at the beginning. Jack, are you familiar with the story?
I'm familiar with a lot of these stories, Phil, and I don't think there's a story that involves firefighting during the day that I'm not intimately familiar with. By 5 o'clock that night, I look at all of these, and I do know this story out of South Fulton, and I know the area, and it's very rural, and these are people that live in trailer homes, and the trailer habitat is well known to all of us, whether we're in firefighting. It seems like the trailer home is well known to all of us, whether we're in firefighting or stand-up comedy, or that doesn't make any difference, and I think we all know what we're in for when we say trailer. So if I have firefighters that are going out to a trailer, just as that caller indicated, by the time I even get my boots on, I know in my heart that that trailer is gone. It's burned to the ground. There's nothing but tires and a frame left. And I'm asking myself, why am I even putting myself out? Well, I'll tell you why, Phil. Because I want to save lives. I want to save property. I want to save the adjoining property. Now I get all the way out there and I find out she hasn't paid her fire subscription fee. Do I still let whatever's left of it burn?
Well, if you get all the way out there and the thing is, there's nothing left.
But there might be something left that she may want it put out. Okay? And so, for whatever reason, maybe it's not threatening the other homes. I'll say, all right, I just put my boots on. I got my crew. I got a hook and a ladder. I've got everything going here. What do I get? You tell me. And if she says, well, thank you, that's all we're asking for.
Before you fight the fire, though.
That is exactly right, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. It's an interesting world, I'll tell you that. Let me go to a phone call here. We're talking with Jack Kepner, and on the line is Tori. Tori, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing? I have a quick question.
Good, thank you.
Out of curiosity, if they're obviously you're dealing with trailer homes, so chances are it's in a trailer park, and obviously there's going to be, you know, surrounding families that are in danger from that fire. Are you going to go around and ask every neighbor whether or not they paid their fire subscription fees in order to, you know, make sure that their house doesn't catch fire?
No, what we're going to do at that point, I think the gentleman's name is Tori. Tori, what we're going to do at that point is we're going to pre-screen, which is to get everybody outside and tell them that we do have a fire. We want to make sure that they're out of their trailers, and then we will ask the family members, do you know who I am? Do you know what I am? Yes, I'm a fireman, and are you appreciative of the fact that I'm here? And then we can certainly ascertain from that.
You're going to ask everybody in the trailer park.
Yeah. If they haven't paid.
If they have paid.
If they have paid, then we got no problem. If they have paid, you know, I'll just simply say to them, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll hook the hoses up and make sure that we've got water coming to your property immediately because you've paid. And
so, in other words, you roll all the equipment toward the houses that have paid.
Well, of course, yeah. And then if we get appreciation from the other houses, and then that's where we sort of do a pecking order.
Okay. Personally speaking, I'm a 24-year-old U.S. Army veteran, and the last thing
sir?
I did was go around and ask every U.S. citizen whether or not they were appreciative of my job that I was doing. I did my job. When it was done, that was it.
Right.
I really don't see the logic behind this. I understand, you know, there are...
Well, I mean, I think that in your case...
At the same time,
Yeah. I think in your case, it's a little difficult for you to ask for appreciation before you go, but when you get back, I think it's beholden upon all of us to give respect to you and by way of a parade, something like that.
What do you mean? Are you with a parade?
Well, some kind of show of appreciation.
I never asked for any a firefighter or a parade. You just do your job.
As a firefighter, I don't want a parade. You know, I want cold hard cash. You know, and a parade looks a little stupid. If you're a firefighter, here's a parade for a bunch of guys that let homes burn. That doesn't make any sense. And although we did make the effort.
You did make the effort, and but here's a parade for guys that let homes burn. I don't know. Thank you very much, Tori, for your call. 877-876. All right, sir. 877-876. Phil, now we have on the line Troy, I believe it is. Troy, is this you? Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I agree with the soldier you just talked to, you know. I've seen a lot of parades where firemen are very appreciated when they go down the road, and to ask for it is kind of, to me, asinine. I mean, if you're proud of what you do, then you should just do your job and find the pride inside of you. That's what firefighters are for.
And it is. But we're talking about people that didn't pay. So they didn't pay, so I didn't get my salary from them. Whatever, who is ever paying my salary is somebody whose home isn't burned down.
What about when they were at the grocery store and paid taxes on it? What about when they bought a vehicle and paid taxes? What about when they look at their paycheck and there's less money in it? I mean, where do you feel you're not paying enough? I mean, you got a lot of tax money that goes to firefighters, and everybody.
That's true, but it's not enough.
Money.
We do, but you have to understand, we make a certain level of salary. I mean, our skill is such that we require a certain level of salary. And I understand people are paying taxes, but it's just not getting it done. So if we charge a fee...
Do you understand that when you ask people, if I can just jump in here, you ask people to pay taxes, it's not enough, so you better charge a fee. Oh, you didn't pay your fee. Well, you got to do something, and your thing is show me appreciation.
Well, there has to be some kind of tribute, if you will, paid to the firefighter for going out there and trying to put out a trailer. Huh?
Whether it's a trailer or not, it's a different story. I mean, we all know trailers burn to the ground in seconds. But
it's not the most glamorous job.
Say it's a neighbor guy in a house.
Right.
And his house is going to take an hour and a half to burn to the ground. It's going to take you 15 minutes to get there. His house isn't burned to the ground by the time you get there. Forget the fact that it's a trailer. You get money from taxes. People pay a lot of taxes in this country.
But we don't. We just don't make enough.
Your organization is saying you need to appreciate us. Your organization talking to the government is what's wrong with this country.
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying is if you don't have your subscription fee.
No,
I'm not a politician. I'm in the fire consulting business. I'm just saying, if you don't have your subscription fee, I need something, because I've come out to a trailer fire. This is not the most prestigious thing as a firefighter. I'm not going to get a whole lot of brownie points. Nobody's going to put my name in the paper because I fought a trailer fire.
What do I get
out of this?
You don't fight fires.
What do I get out of it?
You don't fight fires.
I don't,
fires,
personally. No, I don't, but I look at firefighters, and these are the things that I would want if I was a firefighter.
Okay, so you're basing... you're basing this on what you would want.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go out to a trailer park and do what?
No,
put out a fire.
That's the problem.
I'm putting out a trailer fire, and I'm doing it for free, and there's a bunch of kids with chocolate all over their faces staring at me, and a dog, and what do I get out of this? And she doesn't have her subscription fee.
Well, you put the fire out, and you go, job well done. All right, sir, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I got a phone call here. I think this is Andrew on line one. Go ahead, Andrew. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I am also a military veteran. I'm only 23 years old, and I served 2 years in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes, sir.
And the former soldier had already gotten to the point to where he didn't get any gratitude before he left, So now I'm to the point to where I'm going to say, you know, where is my service fee?
Well, I think that what these gentlemen are saying, Phil, the service people is very good. What you need is to get your up front. I suggest that when before you enlist, that there is some kind of a statement made by the people in your neighborhood. We thank you very much. We know you enlisted. Just so they are forced to acknowledge that. Unless, of course, they've already paid their taxes.
No, what does that matter, though? You volunteer to do it. When you're a firefighter,
because some people don't pay their taxes.
No one. It doesn't matter, though. No one held a gun to your head and say, hey, become a firefighter.
But you know as well as I do, if you don't do what you do and I don't do what I do, then homes burn to the ground and we've got terrorists that are at Blockbuster Video renting your favorite movie. I mean, and I don't mean to be funny, but I mean, that's literally what's happening. So if you don't do what you do,
our country isn't protected and there aren't homes. But you're talking about before I save the guy's house, I need a little bit of appreciation.
If they haven't paid their fee. That's what I'm trying to say.
So the military shouldn't go overseas to fight for you and your family and your kids, if you have any, unless you pay us a service fee or tell us thank you.
No, we already pay you taxes, and you get paid enough. We don't.
I actually get paid less than you being overseas.
But that's enough.
Oh, okay. Nice. This guy gets less than you, and he's fighting and can die, and you are fighting fires.
Well, you don't think we can die? You want to see how many firefighters have died?
Of course they have. But the point is, you make more money, this guy makes less, and you think everything's very equitable.
I think right now it's about the best we can expect out of the system.
Okay, yeah, listen, Andrew, thank you. Go ahead, sir.
And I appreciate that, Phil, because actually when I was overseas, I was injured, and I spent 6 months in Germany.
Yeah.
I didn't get any extra pay. I didn't get any extra thank you. I got nothing. After my 6 months, I went back to the desert and continued to fight for people I didn't even know, people I've never even talked to. And you're trying to say that you're not going
to
put out a fire because they didn't tell you thank you before you put out the fire. Why would someone
tell you
thank you before you did your job?
Because he didn't pay a subscription fee. And I would say to you, sir, Andrew, I would say you going back to Afghanistan after nobody even had the common decency to call you up and say thanks, I don't know. If I were you, I think you did a dumb thing.
Oh, come on, will you? This is the man's profession. This is what he did. He was a professional soldier. He went to Afghanistan. Thank God we have a volunteer force because we know the guys that are going over there are committed 150%.
And I'm not?
No, you're not. Not if you don't get your subscription fee. Then it's like, well, I need some love. And if you don't get any love...
If we don't... Phil, have you ever fought a fire in a trailer park? This guy's talking about going to Afghanistan. That's bad. That's bad. But a fire in a trailer park. Andrew?
Have you ever been in a fire in a trailer park.
A fire in a trailer park.
Oh, come on. Will you fire in a trailer park? Andrew, thanks for your call and thanks for your service to the country. And we're glad you're home and safe. And we appreciate it, man. Have a good evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Jack Kepner, a fire consultant on this... This home burned in Tennessee. It was a trailer because the woman had not paid her $75 subscription fee. The firefighters did not fight the fire. They were there in case other structures were set ablaze or were in danger. The South Fulton mayor, David Crocker, said that the firefighters respond to people who – they do respond to people who didn't pay because they said if they responded to people who didn't pay, there'd be no incentive. Now, I need to also tell you about one other story on the heels of this. There are politicians, I believe, in this town or in the state of Tennessee who now want to prosecute firefighters that do not fight fires. So that will run directly in conflict, if you will, to the municipal law, the county law that's been passed. We'll give you the update on that story when we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Okay. With me is Jack Kepner as we talk about the fighting of fires and the phenomenon in our country of these fire subscription fees, fire prevention subscription fees that people are paying in different towns, one of which is South Fulton, Tennessee, where a woman's trailer burned and burned completely. The firefighters did respond but allowed it to burn. And they didn't let it, they let it burn because she hadn't paid the subscription fee. Now, the lady herself, as you indicated, Jack, and we're going to take some more phone calls here, as you indicated, though, she seemed to understand.
Well, I feel that's exactly right. And I think that the people have to be aware of the fact that if you're a thinking citizen and you realize you haven't paid your fire subscription fee and you live in a trailer, the notion that there's going to be anything other than what happened to this lady is a little silly. So I think she was very realistic. She said, you know, I'm glad they saved my neighbor's homes. The trailer was completely engulfed. And so I think she had an unrealistic expectation. Now, if she had paid her fire subscription fee, her home still would have burned. But we would have gladly gone out there and seen what we could do. At least we would tamp the area down. We'd make sure there wasn't anything hot, no hot embers. Make sure that there was a real good, solid job put on saving whatever we could save. A lot of these mobile homes are on trailers. They're reusable trailers. There are ones that...
Well, you're telling me, I mean, she paid her subscription fee, so what she gets is a trailer.
No, she got...
I mean, the little trailer under the home.
Well, I mean, she paid the subscription fee, so she gets... She deserves service, but she didn't pay the subscription fee. So before I'm even going to go near her mobile home, because understand, fighting a fire in a trailer park, I'm not saying it's like being a soldier in Afghanistan, but I can't think of anything much worse. I don't know what I'd rather do. Go to Afghanistan to fight the Taliban or fight a fire in a trailer park. They are both hazardous. They are both very foreign experiences. You don't know. You lose all contact with reality in many ways. You don't know where you are. You don't know the people. And you do feel very cut off.
When you're fighting a fire in a trailer park.
That is correct, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls now. We have David. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Jack Kepner. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, thank you.
Is this comedy hour with this guy?
Yeah,
no
kidding.
I cannot believe.
I mean, you know, you got to understand, Jack, many of the things you're saying.
Many of the things I'm saying. Let me tell you something. Firefighters die every year in this country. And if you think I think that's funny, both of you guys, you can both go straight to hell.
All right, wow. let's not get heavy here, okay?
Well, I mean, if you guys think it's funny that firefighters die.
No, nobody's saying where it's funny to firefighters.
Well, you were laughing.
What you're saying. Well, you were laughing. What's coming out of your mouth is unbelievable. It sounds
I'm talking about
being a stand-up comic.
You need to turn your radio down there, but David, you need to turn your radio down for me.
I'm not a stand-up. I don't understand. I was saying that in the world of stand-up comedy, trailer parks are often talked about. That's what I was saying. And when firefighters are asked to go fight fires in trailer parks, you don't think they laugh? Of course they laugh.
Well, no, it's dangerous, no doubt about it. But they are you going to stand there and let somebody's home burn down because they didn't pay their fee? No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, there is an alternative. You have to answer a questionnaire in which you express some level of appreciation for me as
a
firefighter.
Even as you said earlier, I mean, when you get a call about a trailer on fire, it's usually burned down before you get out there.
Oh, it's burned down before I put my shoes on.
What's the point? What's the point?
The point is this, Bill. When I go out there, look, it was still burning when the guys got out there. Now, there was nothing left. There might have been a person in there trapped. Chances are there would be nothing left of them, but I can at least give it a shot.
Do these firefighters not receive any funds, state funds or local funds, other than this fee? That
I'm assuming that they have some kind of a problem, yeah, as many municipalities do because of this recession that we're in. I'm assuming that this is the sole source. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm a firefighter, and I require a certain salary. And otherwise, what do you want me to do? You know,
well, would you require a certain salary? You're going to have to just knock that salary down a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Talk to my union about that. Talk to my union about that, you know.
Hey,
oh, that's
Phil.
Really nice of you. That's really nice of you.
Well, I have a union, and here's a guy that calls up and says, you know, do you live in a trailer? Do you live in a trailer?
No, sir, I do not.
There he goes laughing again. Hey, I tell you what, I'll take you out someday, David, and we'll go to a fire, and maybe if we're lucky, we'll see a fireman get burned alive. What up?
Oh, come on.
Now you're being ridiculous.
Well, that's what you're doing. No, that's what you're doing.
Come on. Nobody's saying that. We're trying to make sense out of what you're saying.
Guy's coming out of here laughing.
There is no sense to what he's saying. Fireman's
dead. Fireman's dead.
No, he didn't say that at all. Thank you very much, David, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
This guy calls up, and and I said, I go out and fight a fire at a trailer park, and buddy, I might as well be, you know what, I might as well have my head cut off in Iraq.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Turn that off, bud. We're not. It's time for Ted.
Oh, sorry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. A lot of things happening with this National Football League season. You are never far away from a game when you're in our prime rib room. Watch the NFL. Get yourself a drink. And come on in for our prime rib, of course, Sunday. And we're very happy to be on the show tonight, Phil.
Thank you, Ted, for being with us. And it's a Ted Bell segment here, folks, brought to you by Ted Bell. And welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're kicking things off tonight with you, Ted, because it is your sponsored segment. We also have some pretty interesting news made public today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Horses could soon be butchered in the U.S. for human consumption after Congress quietly lifted a 5-year-old ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month.
Right there, Phil. The mentioning of activists, I think it's very unfortunate because for many people who are in the food business, food delivery business, in the grocery business, in the provisioning business, it's an option that you have, and you are able to open up a little bit more to the consumer, different options, especially at times when prices may be a little steep. So when you mention activists, a red flag went up.
And the red flag is what? Are they animal rights activists?
Well, they're animal rights activists, but you know, again, what I find hypocritical is that we serve meat from steer, we serve meat from a bovine animal, and I haven't had any activists picketing my restaurant. We're a steakhouse. I think people understand that. Now that I'm able to offer an option, and in some cases, it's an option that you're going to offer to people that'll be right there on the menu. In other instances, it is simply an option that they are going to be afforded. And then you have activists telling you can't do it. I tell you, you can't roll back. The Congress has lifted the ban. I don't know what their premise is going to be, the activists, on reinstating the ban.
Is there some thought that horses are like dogs and cats, that they are a domesticated creature that gives us that they're more valuable to us as companions, as pets, as I don't know, you know, that there's somehow.
Well, I'm as sentimental as the next guy, but if people are looking to increase their protein intake and they are looking to increase the quality, at least nutritionally, of their meals, and I have the ability to provide this for my customers.
All right, and I want to get into talking to you about this. You have a steakhouse that is in Beverly Hills, California, and you're going to put horse meat on the menu?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I was going to put it on the menu. What I'm telling you is that there is an option for me as a restaurateur to give to my customers as high a quality tasting product, and at the same time, I can save on the overhead. I can save on the wholesale end, so that we're not spending as much money.
So, I'll get to that question in a moment. Sounds to me like you're going to sell horse meat.
No, that's not what I'm not going to have on the menu. We sell horse meat. What I'm saying is, and please try that. I'm sure that there are a lot of consumers that understand that if they can have a product that is as quality tasting, shall we say, as steak, and they know that it is not costing me as much, that I think they're going to want to at least support my business to the extent that they will like the idea that I've got that. I'm not going to put it on the menu.
Well, what are you going to have on the menu if you have horse meat and you're selling it as a steak? What are you going to put on the menu?
Well, you can put on the menu that it is a steak. You can put on the menu it's a delicious steak. It's a 12-ounce steak. You can call it a Ted's. You can give it a charbroiled, or you can give it a fillet or something. You don't have to say what it is, and that's really not why I came on the program tonight. The reason why I came on the program tonight was to talk to you about these activists, so-called animal rights activists. I don't see them as animal rights activists at all. I think that they're these are people that probably own horses themselves and probably ride those horses and probably run those horses and probably use those horses in their amusement time almost to death as the animal is dragging itself back to a stable laden down with a saddle and God knows what else. And those people call themselves animal rights activists? I don't think so.
Well, you're talking about people that ride horses for a hobby.
Yes. These individuals, you've seen them where they have the... they got a stable or what have you, and they go out and they ride the horse, and then and some of these individuals should not be on the back of an animal. They are these animals are fragile creatures. I mean, they're strong animals, but you're not going to put a human being on the back of an animal, a human being that has no business sitting on a horse, any more than they, forgive me for trying to be funny, but any more than they have business wearing pants,
You're talking about people that are overweight. I understand what you're saying, and that there may be some abuse of horses in that respect. But we're talking here specifically about the serving of horse meat. Congress has lifted this ban, and there is now there is conversation at the USDA saying that the USDA is going to allow the butchering of horses for human consumption. So, again, you're going to sell horse meat.
What you do is you afford your customers the option of having a quality steak. You're not going to say, oh, we've got horse meat steak. That is not a commercially viable choice, in my opinion. But what you can say is you have a delicious steak. You can make it a part of the menu, and you provide it. And again, it costs me less from my wholesaler, so that when I retail it to my customer, I am saving that much more money.
Now, the money that the customer is saving on this steak, they're going to see that the price is lower.
Well, it's a difficult business. I didn't necessarily say, and nor do I think it's wise of me to lower the price. Because if I do that, then the customer thinks that he's not getting a high-quality cut of meat. So I'm going to keep my prices the same. All right.
So what you're saying, you're going to keep your prices the same, but you are...
I'm going to be saving money, yeah. But I also understand, that in my opinion, I think my customers are going to appreciate the fact that we do serve horse meat, or we serve this kind of a cuisine... and that they can avail themselves of that.
All right, can I interrupt you, Ted, for a moment here?
Go ahead.
if you are not identifying on the menu that you're selling horse meat, then how does your customer know?
I think what we do is we basically come on programs like yours, Phil. You know, I'm going to go on the Ken and Bob. What is it? Ken and John show
on John and Ken,
and go on some of these programs, and we go on some of the LA talk shows and so forth, and nationally too, and let them know that we're very excited about the possibility that we can afford our customers the choice of a quality steak. It's good meat, Phil. It's good tasting. I think there's been a terrible slander against horse. You know, every time we say horse meat, you think of cat food or dog food.
Well, that's what I think of, because of that, I would never want to eat, you know.
Well, I'm advertising on your program, and because I'm advertising on your program, and I advertise on other programs, I would hope that the hosts who are on those shows are going to support Tens of Beverly Hills, and I would like you to come in at your choosing, Phil, and sit down and have lunch and have one of our TED specials or what have you.
So that would be a horse meat steak.
Again, we're not calling it that. It is it's a TED lunch special. It's a delicious 12-ounce steak. And that's all we have to call it. I don't have to say, come in and get a horse meat steak. What I'm telling you is, I'm saving money because it's not as expensive. But what?
Well, all right. I mean, I understand, but you're not passing that savings on to the consumer.
I cannot lower the price of the steaks because people will think that the quality suffers. And so.
So you need to maintain the price of that steak, but you're going to be selling a Ted special steak or whatever you wind up calling it.
We do know we're going to have 8-ounce and 12-ounce. The largest will be a 12-ounce.
But this will essentially be horse steak.
You know, I don't want to call it that.
But isn't that what it is?
I don't want to call it that. I don't want to call it that. I know what you're saying, and I affirm the statements you're making, but I don't want to say that.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying, though. That's what it is.
Well, I'll just repeat what I said.
All right. Ted Bell with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. He is serving or will be serving or will be purchasing because the USDA has lifted a 5-year ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month. There could be horse meat consumption among many Americans, and Ted Bell is one of many restaurants, huh, Ted?
Well, there's a few back east. I know a great many. I know a chain restaurant that is going to be using some of these suppliers.
And the reason is that a horse meat steak is a delicious steak.
There's no question, Phil, and it's low in fat. It's delicious. The only problem that we would have, again, would be this some kind of a political statement on the part of some of these activists that don't want you to slaughter horses. But I don't understand. These are the same people. These horse meat inspectors, or excuse me, not activists, these horse meat, what do you call them? The activist opponents of horse meat are people that own horses and ride horses, and in many cases, ride them to death. And I think that needs to be investigated. I think we need to investigate who these individuals are that own horses for their own pleasure and amusement, ride them until they are almost dead, until the hearts in the chests of these great proud animals almost explode, and then leave them standing all afternoon with saddles on them while, excuse me for saying this, the fat slob that was riding this animal goes inside for a Diet Coke.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about horse meat for human consumption? Do you think that Mr. Bell should have to identify the horse meat that's on his menu? Do you think he should pass the savings along to you on this horse meat? And for those of you who are animal rights or horse rights activists, do you own horses that you ride? I think you're being a little rough there, Ted.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I know some of these people.
All right, hold the line here. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, you come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills again, the National Football League. We're getting into those really interesting weeks ahead of the playoffs, and we've got all the games on. We got our DirecTV. We paid the bill. Come on in and have yourself a drink and have our slow roasted prime rib, Phil.
All Sunday, right?
All day Sunday we have the slow roasted prime rib, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it is absolutely delicious. And
it's not made out of horse.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I would rather that you not make those jokes, and I'll tell you why.
I apologize.
No, it's all right, but I'll tell you why. We're going to take advantage of this. We're going to deliver to our customers what we think is a high-quality steak. Is it as good as a regular steer or bovine product? Probably not. It's horse. But it's not costing me as much. And that, and I want my customers to know that so that they can know that I'm not paying as much for the product. I mean, we're in the middle of a serious downturn. So if you're going to make jokes about the prime rib is beef. It's not a horse.
And no, I understand that. I just, you're right, it was a joke, and I apologize.
Because you're not going to, I don't want people not coming in because they think, oh, the prime rib, it's prime rib. That means it's off of the beef. If we are serving some kind of a horse stew or, I'm not going to come on a radio and say, come in and get a horse steak. I don't think it's good business.
But you are serving them.
Again, I don't want to say that we're serving horse. I'm simply...
But, all right, you know...
You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that, but you're all right. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm what?
Well, I think it's an unspoken fact that that's what you're doing.
I don't want to go there. You know what I'm talking about, I know what you're talking about, and the audience knows what you're talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call, and we've got people hanging on. I want to talk to you, Ted, and we'll see what we can do about accommodating everybody. We have Sarah with us here. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
I'm very appalled at what I'm listening to. This gentleman who's on the line, he owns a restaurant?
Yes, ma'am. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, California. It's called Ted's of Beverly Hills. And the steak, we've been there since 1975.
Oh, okay. I would be appalled if I went anywhere and was not informed of what I was eating. I don't care if it's veal or if it's beef or whatever. Every animal that we eat has a name, and I guess I would surely expect that that should be on menu, whether you call it horse or they come up with some fancy name. It needs to be identified.
All right, let me ask the lady a question. When you order a steak at a restaurant, and you say, oh, look at this, a steak. I want to have a steak. You order the steak. Correct?
Yes.
All right. At no time do you ever ask the waiter, by the way, is this made out of cow? You have an expectation that you want a delicious product, something that is prepared properly, that tastes like a steak.
Yeah, but...
Well, hold on, Phil, and let me explain to the lady.
You know what?
And so when I deliver that steak to your table and you have an enjoyable evening with your husband or whoever you're with and you have a glass of wine and you just
tell me.
You want me to come out at the end of that meal? You want me to come out at the end of that meal and say, by the way, you just ate horse. Are you going to keep it down? Is it going to come out? You see what I'm saying?
It would probably come out. I guess I
don't know what you're laughing at.
I have some experience in the restaurant field, and I don't know what your menu looks like, but ours said when it was 100% beef.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that needs to be
identified. Absolutely. Or does it say, or let me ask you this, did it say 100% beef, or did it say 100% choice steak? What did it say? And
well, now we're getting into an area where there's a little bit of... Well, I don't want to call it fraud.
But, whoa, watch that word. We don't defraud anybody, okay?
And well, if you are not serving, if the understanding is...
We don't tell anybody anything. All I'm trying to do here, and I'm sure that Stacy, or Sarah, rather, you're in the restaurant business, Sarah, you understand. I'm trying to do business, and you want me, you and Mr. Henry want me to come out and say, come on into Ted's and get a horse steak. It's not going to work.
Obviously, yes, that's not going to work. But then it doesn't make
exactly
a lot of sense what you're saying. Either you don't want to say the wrong thing for fear of losing customers, but you want your customers to be very proud of you for saving money in these bad economic times, even though you pass any of that on to them. They're going to be...
Well, no, wait a minute. Now, that's an interesting point. You're saying to me that if I did pass the savings on to them, they wouldn't care if they were eating cat. That's basically what you're saying.
No, she's not saying that at all.
Well, yes, you are. In a manner of speaking, you are, because you're saying, well, at least you can pass the savings on. That way, if they're eating dog food, if they're eating cat, they don't care.
No, she didn't say that at all.
I said I think it's absolutely strange to listen to you talking about how you think that your customers are going to be so happy that you're saving money. They're not, and they might end up eating something that they don't know what they're eating, but they should be happy because you're saving a dime.
Well, I think you're twisting it a little bit. I think you're spinning it in a way that... Are you an animal rights activist? I have to ask you that because you're spinning it in a way that makes it sound like I'm serving cat. And
No. I'm listening...
No, I think what you're saying is you're saying, and you're not even going to pass the savings on to your customers... The least you could do would be to do that, right? And if I did that, then I could say...
I guess from the explanation you're giving, that would make sense to me for you, at least for you to say,
all right,
this is why I'm doing it.
Let's take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with Ted Bell.
Yeah, stir-fried Ted.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, we are taking advantage of the United States Congress lifting the ban on horse meat inspection. We are very serious about our product at Ted's of Beverly Hills. But horse meat is available for human consumption.
And Ted Bell joining us, and what you're saying is that horse meat is not only available for human consumption, it's delicious.
It is absolutely delicious. It is, as I said, Phil, the horse is like the bovine animal, and by that I mean like the steer, the cow, is a herbivore, which means it is not a meat eater. By the way, meat-eating animals are not necessarily bad-tasting or anything. Some of this nonsense you've heard. The reason why we do not raise meat-eating animals for our own food is because it costs more to feed an animal like that. Obviously, an animal that is consuming meat is going to require a protein source that is going to be a lot more expensive for the individual who is either involved in that agribusiness or involved in that kind of ranching. So we are, the human race has raised vegetation-eating animals, if you will. Now, the horse meat that I'm talking about is high-quality horse. By that, I mean you're talking about animals that are, at one time, they might have been thoroughbred horses who raced, for instance, in thoroughbred racing, which means they are a very healthy animal. There's very little fat.
And you're telling me that the horse meat that you're dealing in for human consumption, these used to be racehorses?
In some instances, yeah. Not in all instances, in some. A lot of them are going to be eventually farmed. But yes, in some instances, because if you're looking at this objectively, Phil, which I hope you are and I hope your listeners are, thoroughbred horse races, horses are low in fat, healthy animals. And obviously there's a lot of them that are made available every year by virtue of the fact that they have not lived up to their expectation as racehorses. But they can still use serve a useful purpose. So that's all I want to say about that, because I don't want to get too far into the discussion of that. People tend to get a little, I don't know.
Well, people are going to get really sentimental about horses. People are extremely sentimental about horses to begin with because they're like a a pet. But I had no idea that you're involved in the selling of thoroughbred horses as meat.
I didn't say I'm involved in the sell. It sounds as if you forgive me, but you make it sound like I'm involved in white slaving. And
no, I'm not. No, Ted.
Well, like when you said you're involved in, it sounds as if I'm selling children, and I resent that, Bill.
No, I did not say that, Ted. I did not say that.
Well, it sounds as if that's you've got me in Bangkok selling children. I said that I am not selling. I don't want to discuss what I'm selling.
All right, I apologize, but anybody that is selling horse meat would be selling. Or would be involved in selling thoroughbred?
No, again, you're misspeaking. Again, you're misspeaking. Yet again. When you say it sounds like you're involved in, you are making it sound like I am involved in the trafficking of infants for sex. And
no, I am most certainly not, Mr. Bell, and I wish you wouldn't engage in that kind of overstatement. I am not saying that at all.
Well, that is how I'm hearing it. And there's an awful lot of people that are very sensitive about this. And
well, I can understand them being sensitive, but I have not said anything even remotely close to what you just claim I did. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jamie on the line, I believe. Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Jamie, are you there? She gone?
All right. Hello?
Let's
Hello?
Who's this? This is not Jamie. All right. Hold on, brother. Hold on for a minute, goofball. Here is Bob. Bob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How you doing there, Ted? I just have a comment.
Very good. Thank you.
I just have a comment on...
I can't hear this caller. Turn him up, will you? Go ahead, sir, okay. Bob.
Okay. Ted, I would just want to comment... you have a good restaurant, and you have.
And hear the caller. Go on.
As I was saying, you have a good restaurant. Can you hear me, Ted?
I can hear you. Yeah, Mr. Henry was having a hard time hearing you, but I can hear you.
I was having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in Pennsylvania. What I'm saying is, if you have a good restaurant and a good quality menu. Don't worry about selling horse. You sell your steaks. You don't need to advertise you're selling horse. When they come in, offer it to them as an alternative. Maybe have it a little cheaper, and let them have a choice, knowing what they're eating if they don't want the horse.
Okay, you know what? I got to get rid of the call because I don't know what the problem is. I can't hear the caller, and unless you guys can jack the level on these phone calls, let's go to Gary. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, once again, thank you for taking my call. I am a butcher in New York City, and it's to me it's pretty direct that people will not consume an animal that you can have an emotional relationship with in that particular sense, that you can have a bond with as the animal per se for what it is.
Have you ever heard, you've heard of bacon, right? You've heard of bacon?
Yes, but not too many people hang out with
bacon. Really? I beg to differ. The pot-bellied pig has become quite a popular pet.
Very popular. Few and far between. Let me say this.
No, not really.
Okay.
I know some people. You made the statement that you cannot consume an animal that you have a personal relationship with, which I think that's bizarre. Who has a personal relationship?
Well, don't take that to an extreme when they say personal relationship.
You're saying that, in other words, a guy's gonna get to know the horse he's going to eat?
No, the man is saying we generally don't eat animals that we keep as pets. Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
I didn't want to beat that to death. The other thing is,
want to beat a dead horse.
Yeah, okay. listen. My point is your idea may fly in a limited capacity on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. The idea would not be accepted in any way, shape, or form. You have a limited amount of people in a certain culture in New York City that have small bodegas, what we call, where they have livestock that they do sell for slaughter, lambs, chickens. But we're not dealing with horses over here. And then
you sell lamb. You do sell
yes,
lamb.
Yes, we do.
Now,
yes, we do.
That's an animal that you're going to have a friendship with, or whatever you wanted to call it.
I don't see that bonding process having a large following.
A lamb?
Yes,
you,
I don't
you,
know many.
Have you ever heard of Mary? You've never heard Mary had a little lamb?
That's a fairy. That's a nursery rhyme.
We didn't talk about the whole album.
That was Mary, yeah.
Dick and Harry. Okay,
well, you guys can make a joke, but the gentleman, the whole premise of the gentleman's comments, it's premised on whether or not I have a friendship with what I'm about to kill and eat.
No, it's not. It's about animals that could be pets.
That's what I meant. And you're telling me lambs are not pets?
I don't know, other than Mary had a little lamb, yeah, which is probably something that goes back hundreds of years when maybe kids did have pets as some of the farm animals were their pets. Today we live in an urban society where we don't have those kind of pets.
And once a year, the president pardons two turkeys, okay, if you want to go that route.
There's a joke there, too, but I get, what I'm trying to say is, yeah.
My point
you're
is, I'm in the business 35 years as a butcher, and right. I know what the public will be receptive to and what they won't. And there is a limited. They do carry ground buffalo meat, but that's pushing it. And our standards are much too rigorous over here. Would never cut it.
Well, what do you mean? The first of all, the United States Congress is authorized. It's legal. And
I
secondly, if you had the neighborhood lady come in, and I'm sure there's a million of them that come and see you. And she said to you, Gary, give me 2 pounds of horse.
Not going to happen.
And she's not talking about heroin.
Not going to happen. The conversation would never exist.
Oh, God.
Well, what are you going to say to her? My question is, what would you say to her if she said, Gary,
we don't carry the product.
And she says, well, that's the last time I'm walking into this place.
Oh, come on.
I would say next and have a nice day. And wherever she shopped, she would be greeted with the same situation. It's not going to fly in New York City.
In the middle of a recession, if you can blow customers off that easy, hey, you know, my hat's off to you. But,
there are other ways to make the dollar, my friend.
That's right, yeah. And Gary, thank you very much, sir, for your expertise.
Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
John.
All right. Yes, sir. 877-876. Phil, we're going to get back to more of your phone calls here. While you're making jokes, though, Ted, I think you're missing the larger point here.
No, I'm not missing the larger point. What do you mean making jokes? When she said, if I want 2 pounds of horse, and I'm not talking about heroin, I was thinking of the French Connection movie, which, of course, I saw. And, of course, it's a marvelous film with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider, who passed on recently. Fantastic movie, and I visited some of the...
All right, fine, but what we're talking about horse?
Yeah, but the horse meat question, here's a guy, you know, with all due respect to the gentleman, Gary... I hear a little jealousy. I hear a man saying, oh, I didn't think of that. Nah, it'll never fly. You know how many times Ted Bell has heard that?
Look.
No, seriously, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard, don't do that, it'll never work?
Well, I mean, if you've heard...
No, I'm saying, yes, me, but what I'm really saying, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard that? Let's forget about me for a minute, and let's talk about me as the... Let's talk about me as the Ted Bell most people know, and that is the provider of a great, well, just Ted Bell. Let's just talk about Ted Bell in the third person. How many times has Ted Bell heard, you better not do that, it's not done, nobody will go for it? How many times do you think Ted Bell's heard that?
Ted, I don't know how many times you've heard or...
I didn't say me.
You're talking about you, though, aren't you?
Would you please go with me? I'm saying, how many times has...
How many times has Ted Bell heard it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Many, many times Ted Bell's heard that. And Ted Bell laughs in the face of that. When someone says to Ted Bell, you can't thus and so, Ted Bell goes, ha, ha, ha. That's what he does. If someone says to Ted Bell, like Ted Bell's wife, Marcy, who said to him, if I see you come home, and I smell that perfume on you again, I'm taking Joshua, and I'm going to our place in the desert. And Ted Bell said, ha, 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 no, you're not. That's what he said.
Okay, Ted, I am talking to Ted Bell, aren't I?
No, but Phil, I'm trying to make a point.
No, you're making a ridiculous point. I got a third person. I understand that you are a Bull Brummel. I understand you're a trendsetter. I understand that you're out in front. I get it. Congratulations. The question is, and the question remains, are people going to go for it? Are people going to eat horse meat? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll get a little bit more into this article, guys, from Time Magazine. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show right now, as a matter of fact, so you can join us over there at philhenryshow.com. We have Ted Bell on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Just want to take a brief moment here to, familiarize you with our website, which is where you go and get our live streaming video. You can get podcasts of our show every day as a download the next day. You can download entire shows going all the way back to 1999 and some shows from before then. We have a news feed. We have our souvenir shop, which you can go into, and I would suggest you go into for any Phil fan in the house if you are one yourself, then go in and buy yourself something. We have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. So let me talk with Ted about those in just a second here, as well as the sale of horse meat that may be going on at his restaurant.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted, what about those new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies?
These are Hanes hoodies. They come in the large, extra large, and double extra large. It has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the front. And it has, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
In your mouth.
Right there, it has that slogan right on the back, too. So the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is available there at the Phil Henry Show website. We want everybody to get their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie and show people that you're not going to stand for, the maligning of our business, because we have decided that we're going to take the United States Congress up on their offer in a very difficult time, and we are going to offer people the option of purchasing this kind of horse steak or horse sandwich or whatever you want to call it, and this is an option. And again, we save on the overhead goes down. The amount that we're charged at the wholesaler goes down. And I want my audience to know that we're not paying as much. And
yeah, but that one lady said made a very good point. Why should they care?
Why should who care?
Why should the customer care if you're not passing the savings on to them?
I think the customer is going to appreciate the fact that they are eating in a man's restaurant who has an eye at the bottom line, who's got an eye on quality and on value. All right? So, no, I'm not passing the savings on to them, because if I did, then they'd think that they were eating, some kind of a substandard meat. And that's not the case. Not at Ted's. No way. Not at my place. Maybe at some, I don't want to mention any names, but I think you know the places I'm talking about. No way. Maybe they pull that. I don't. Not at Ted's. No way.
All right. I don't really know.
I've said I don't serve, I'm not serving snake meat. I'm not serving puppy dog. Do you want me to get into detail here?
No, okay. I understand. I just, I don't think anybody's going there, not to that extreme. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get to some phone callers here that we've had on the line here. Now, Bob, you called back. You got a better line. So, Bob, go ahead and make your point very quickly for us. Go ahead.
All right. Again, Ted, if you're serving...
Is this the gentleman from Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, this is him.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like to say is, up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure in California as well, you can go to a restaurant and you can find various restaurants, venison on your menu, rabbit on your menu, buffalo.
Absolutely.
And they let you know you're eating venison. They let you know, but you can still get a good quality T-bone or New York strip or what have you, filet. There's nothing wrong with serving any. I don't care if you're serving a dog. I mean, people want to eat it, they'll eat it. If they don't want to eat it, they won't eat it. It's their choice. But as far as you charging for something that that you're not paying for, it's ridiculous. You're still going to make your money if your restaurant is a good restaurant.
Yeah, well, we have a great restaurant. But I can't right now, not in this climate, not with the tenor of the times being what they are, I can't say, here is horse, because I'm going to have all of these people. Well, here, I'll tell you why. I'm going to have all of these people, like that one lady that called up, oh, we own horses and we go riding on Sundays. All of these people that love to beat the hell out of their horses, but they think they're animal lovers, you see? So
absolutely.
I can't deal with that. You know, I would rather just go ahead and have people eat horse and not tell them they're eating it.
Well,
how long have you been in business, sir?
Well, my father started the restaurant in 1976. I took it over in 1983. That's when, we really got into business.
So you're very well established, so you shouldn't have to worry about
Absolutely.
Other people coming in, and not, you should not lose any customers.
We're in Beverly Hills. We got a lot of liberals, and a lot of these people will say,
I understand what you're saying.
Right. A lot of the elderly, we have a lot of the elderly entertainment people come in. They're very old. And if I tell them I got a horse on the menu, they're not very open-minded. And they're Jewish. And I don't know if there's a religious prohibition.
Against what? Against horse?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Is it kosher? I don't know if horse is kosher. Is kosher.
So you're going to serve, suppose somebody eats a kosher meal and you're going to serve them horse?
Well, do I look like a rabbi? What I'm trying to do is...
You're not going to serve them a kosher meal.
Why don't you serve them?
Is there something wrong with your throat, sir? You sound like... Are you okay?
Yeah,
I mean that, because you...
This is how you sound like that.
Oh, okay.
Look, Bob, I'm going to let you go. Very good points, Bob. I want to discuss these with Ted. 877-876-PHIL.
You're not going to discuss anything. You're going to move on to another call, aren't you?
No, I'm going to discuss with you when we have some time this idea of serving a non-kosher meat to people that are maybe keeping kosher. I don't know. Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I drive a truck for a living. I've gone from state to state. And as a matter of fact, coming out of Louisiana, they serve alligator on their menu and call it alligator. But what you're trying to say is you're not going to advertise that you serve horse meat because you're afraid that your customer base is not intellectually inclined to understand that it's horse meat. I don't want you serving me up a pile of crap and calling it a steak.
It's not crap. It's horse. That's the only difference.
I'm aware.
What if it tastes good? Are you
going to
say still?
Are you
going to
serve
crap? No, I'm serving your horse.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're just having some fun, Ted.
He's always on a steady.
Because we are talking here on the program. Hold on for a second. We're talking about, we're talking about the fact that horse is now legal.
Can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to do it while you're playing this song here.
That's great. It's the Mr. Ed theme.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Well, listen to this. I am Mr. Ed.
Well, okay, there's two things that I wanted to say.
Kill the music, bud. I'm sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one, I'm buying time on your radio show to advertise my product, and I think that it bespeaks a terrible, terrible choice on your part to play that music, which is a mockery of a very serious product. If I say we're selling horse, and I'm not saying that we're selling horse, I'm trying to avoid causing a problem. And...
I thought it was funny.
Well, no, it isn't funny. It's not funny when I'm saying that we are going to take advantage. I'm sorry. It's not funny when I say we're going to take advantage of a congressional ban that's been lifted and you play a song like that, I got to tell you, I'm very angry.
I apologize.
Well, I'm angry for a couple of reasons. I'm angry because you've just harmed, you just damaged my business. And I'm angry because you think it's funny. And not only that, I remember that television show, the Mr. Ed show. I think a lot of us do. I remember it fondly. I remember the theme music to that television show. I don't know what that song was that you played. It sounded terrible. It doesn't sound like the original. And the man at the end that was the voice of Mr. Ed was horrible. This is the way he sounded. I don't know. He sounded like that gentleman from Pennsylvania. So what I'm saying is this. I think it takes a lot of moxie and chutzpah to mock my business when I'm paying you, you know, an amount. I'm paying you a lot of money. Okay? I'm paying you a lot of money to advertise on your program.
Well, I apologize. I thought it was a funny thing.
And I haven't heard the commercial that we spend a lot of money to advertise, to use to, in advertising. I haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. Okay, I'm going to hang this phone up.
I'm sorry, Ted. We had two audio sources. Here is the commercial.
I hope you go to hell. I do. I hope when you die, you go to hell.
Steakhouse, come on.
God. What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say? Okay, never mind.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted, you know, I can't do the show without you. I'm apologizing I'm very, very apologetic to do that. I did not mean to mock your business. All right?
You did, and you damaged my business. And by playing the Mr. Ed theme. But in other words, what you're saying is what people are going to be eating in my restaurant, children are going to be eating a good product, a healthy product, but you want children that are listening to your program tonight to think that they're going to eat Mr. Ed. That's what you want.
No, I don't. And I dare say I don't expect children to be listening to this show.
But that's the message. The message is, isn't it funny? Let's take why don't you just say that I want you to eat my favorite Martian? Why don't you have the Martian theme and say that people can eat a Martian? They can come into my restaurant and eat Ray Walston or whoever the gentleman was. Is that what you want? And I know you're laughing.
It's very difficult not to be amused slightly at how far out you're taking this. I apologize.
I pay advertising on your program. Do I not pay for advertising on your program? Turn it down. Do I not?
Yes, sir, you do.
Then why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme? Why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme?
I wasn't intending to mock you. I was mocking the topic.
And the topic is something that I sell in my restaurant that I'm trying to promote on your show.
That is true.
And you're making a joke out of it.
That, I suppose, is true. That was a bad choice.
You know something? Of all the idiots that I could have been advertising on, you know, you guys in talk radio, and I don't mean any offense, Phil, but of all of the imbeciles, every talk show that I listen to, you guys are all a bunch of idiots as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's 5 ounces worth of brains between you, Hannity, any of them. I think you're all idiots. And the fact that the reason why I chose your show is because they told me that you were a little bit more personable and you were a little bit better broadcaster and all of this stuff. Well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, you're no brighter than the dumbest guy I've ever heard. But the dumbest guy I've ever heard on the radio is Rick Dees. I don't think you even have his brains. You listening to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
I don't think you're even as smart as that the guy that they had on, that they fired, what's the guy's name? Howard Stern? I don't even think you're as smart as him.
They didn't fire Howard Stern.
Well, whatever they did with him, they got him off my radio. I don't even think you're as smart as him. I think all you guys, so I come on your show, I want to advertise on your show, and what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for my money? You're going to mock my product?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
The fact that you're selling horse meat is controversial. Would you agree with that?
No, I will not agree with that. What I'm selling is a good product. Since when is a good product controversial?
All right, but let's just say this. It is a news topic, at least, and there may be some difference of opinion. And we have seen that there's some difference of opinion. You've had professionals call. You've had consumers call. You had a truck driver call. People that will eat steak, people that probably eat a lot of steak, saying that they want to know what they're eating, and you don't want to tell people what it is.
I've been trying to tell you for the last hour and 15 minutes that I'm not going to mention the word horse. That I will mention the word horse insofar as we're talking about the law. But when it comes to what I sell in my restaurant, I'm not going to say to people, and by the way, do you want a horse steak? Because I might as well say to them, by the way, would you like a dog steak? Do you want puppy stew? And I told you that when you said that to me, you might as well be telling the audience out there, by the way, we'll be back with Jerry Sandusky in just a moment.
No.
What are you laughing at?
I think that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous when you take into consideration what people think of this topic.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to call you Jerry Sandusky, you know.
Well, you know, I got people out there saying I'm selling horse meat, and I'm lying to them, and you playing that Mr. Ed theme. I don't want to hear that again. You understand me?
I won't play it again.
You understand me, though?
Yeah, I will not play it again. I apologize, but let's keep talking about this, okay?
We can keep talking about it, but I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is, oh, hey, Ted, tell us about the horse steak. I'm not going there.
Well, we can talk about the product.
We can talk about the product in a general way, but I do not want to say I'm selling horse, because you know what that sounds like. I just told you what it sounds like. It sounds like I want to go and get a shower after the workout, and oh, yeah, it's only 11:30 at night, and go ahead and slide along the floor there in your underwear. Like I'm saying that to you when you're six.
How did you... Can I ask a question?
No, look, Phil.
How did you get to child molesting from selling horse steak?
Because that's what you guys do. That's what you guys do. You take a man's business, and you will defame a man if it gets you a couple of ratings points.
I'm not doing anything of the sort, and I categorically reject that. I haven't done anything of the sort.
Phil, you're talking about me selling horse steak like I decided, oh, do you want to go work out? I know it's your 10th birthday, but let's go work out. And by the way, take your underwear off and slide along the slimy floor of that shower. And
you know what? Your mind, you got a one-track mind, my friend. And
what is that supposed to mean?
It means it's very interesting how you take this topic of horse meat and turn it into child molestation. I haven't said anything of the sort about your business. I would never say anything like that. We have a disagreement, of course. I'm not trying to defame or malign you. You've come on my program. You, Ted, we're talking about the law. So we're going to talk about the law. 877-876-PHIL. We've got people hanging on. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking. The article that I'm referring to is in Time Magazine from today, the 30th of November. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have got a delicious prime rib on Sunday. And yes, We have the Ted Special, the 8-ounce or 12-ounce. I guarantee it's the best steak you're ever going to have in your life. And by the way, that slogan there, Phil, that's on the back of the hoodies.
That's right. Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie at the Phil Henry shop at philhenryshow.com. It's a great Christmas gift, Ted.
I would think it's a great Christmas gift for people that are fans of Ted's of Beverly Hills, people that are fans of the Phil Henry Show. It's in our Ted's of Beverly Hills official colors, our blue, black, and white. It is a black hoodie. And you got it in extra large, Phil? What are the sizes?
We got large, extra large, and double extra large. And we also, of course, on the back, as you say, in white, is the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." And
so you can wear that proudly wherever you go. And just walk in front of somebody with that on the back of your hoodie, and I'm sure they're going to just be very impressed. Now then. Well, you told me that's where you thought it ought to go.
I think, yes, I think your advertising slogan would be best on the back. Anyway, Ted is with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the possibility that horse meat, the ban on the sale of horse meat for consumption in the United States may be lifted. And it's very interesting, Ted, because we have a lot of different issues at stake here. We have, for some people, it may be a nutrition or a health issue.
Well, it's not a nutrition or a health issue, and I wish you wouldn't say that. It's healthy, it's lean. These are horses that ran in some of the most prestigious stakes races in the country. And, you know, so how can that not be a healthy cut of meat if you've got an animal that was one of the top thoroughbreds?
You know what? There's something ghoulish about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm a horse racing fan and a fan of great horses, and you're selling these animals. I thought you said they didn't win.
Well, they weren't winners, but they were in the Derby. They were in the Cap, the Sanity, the Big Cap, Sanity, the Handicap, and so forth. Not all of them, but some of them.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's get to some phone calls we have hanging on here. Greg, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil. I'm
yes,
a little angry about the kosher thing. I think, you know, the horse meat's one thing, but to not tell people that it's kosher or not kosher, you don't know what you're doing to those people's psyche when you do that.
Well,
you know how to make it kosher.
What do you want from me? Are you trying to tell me that horse meat is not kosher? It's got to be kosher.
No, because beef is not kosher if you cut it off the wrong end. You got to cut the meat on the right end. And you got to make sure you don't get any entrails or anything on the meat. And then a rabbi comes and says, you're doing it, and then it's okay. And you need to be doing that.
I just want to be clear. You want me to drag a rabbi in there at all hours of the night to make sure that I'm cutting up.
Well, you're not slaughtering the horse yourself, are you?
No, but this guy's telling me that I can't serve horse unless I got a rabbi in the kitchen.
No, I'm telling you, you can't. You got to cut very carefully around the ass end, and that's the truth. Look it up on the internet, and you can't get those entrails on it, and it should be certified by a rabbi. You can do it the day before. You don't have to do it right there as you're slapping it on the grill.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not going to sit there playing with a horse's ass. What is that about? You know,
talking about the proper way of slaughtering it, right, Greg?
Correct. And if he's going to have him slaughtered, he has to have him certified by a rabbi.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if I say that I did?
If you said you did, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who goes to hell, the guy eating it or you.
Wait a second. Oh, I see. So I'm going to go to hell, huh?
If I say
to the guy, what do you mean the guy eating it? If the guy eating it's not going to rot in hell, I am. And
well, why
Jewish,
does he have to eat kosher meat in the first place?
I don't know. But if I say to the guy, oh, yeah, sure, it's kosher, and he eats it, he's not going to go to hell. I will.
Yeah.
But I'm not Jewish, so I won't go to hell either.
Look, I don't know. It sounds to me, Ted, like you're mocking Judaism now. And
will you give it a rest?
That's exactly what it sounds like you're doing. You're mocking somebody's religion. You're going to go ahead and sell something to a guy claiming that it's kosher. It may sound silly to you, but people that keep kosher, they're serious about it. If you sell a guy a product that's not kosher and you claim it is, hey, good luck, man.
What do
And Russian old believers, too.
They're going to serve me up for dinner?
Yeah, they may. I hope you're kosher.
You know, you're real funny, and again, I want to remind you, I'm on your show advertising on your show.
Well, you know what? You're not going to be advertising for much longer if you're telling Jewish folks, come on into my restaurant. Yeah, horse is kosher, and I'm going to serve it, and it's not.
Because you didn't prepare it right.
What, are you Jewish, sir?
No, I got a lot in the office, and they tell me what they have to eat, and I make sure that I ask the butcher.
You ask the butcher?
Yeah, there's a butcher. There's a prime rib, Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib. Are you sure this isn't a gag? Is this guy?
No, he's a caller.
No, are you guys on 76? I'm Old Seward and 76.
You're joking,
no,
aren't you?
No, look it up. Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib, huh? And what, is Mr. Prime Rib kosher? Or is he a rabbi?
He makes it kosher. And then
no, what I'm saying is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
What do you mean is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
I got a restaurant in Beverly Hills, California, my man.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more Jew-intensive than that. And
okay, I've had about enough of that, all right? I don't want to hear that. Either you're keeping a kosher food, you know, either you're serving a kosher meal.
This guy's talking about Mr. Prime Rib's a rabbi, and you're saying I'm making jokes?
He didn't say Mr. Prime Rib's a rabbi.
What?
I said there's a Mr. Prime Rib store, and they know how to prepare it by doing it the correct way so that it's kosher.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they know how to prepare it.
Well, they make sure they cut away and there's no entrails, et cetera. And the same with the old...
Where is this place? Where is this? Where's this Mr. Prime Rib, anyway? Where's it located?
In Anchorage.
Are you talking about in Alaska?
Yeah, just up the coast.
Are you trying to tell me they got three Jewish people in Alaska?
No, they don't. You know something, Ted? Thank you very much. It's Greg, right? Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on. I think that, Ted, you're right, too. You have Jewish customers. You ought to know better. So quit making the jokes, okay?
I'm making a couple of laughs, but I'm telling you right now, you don't have to worry about the horse not being kosher at my place. This guy's in Anchorage, Alaska. He's trying to tell me, Mr. Prime Rib. Yeah, I bet you that's not all he's called.
Were you making a joke about him being a rabbi?
No, this guy led me to believe that they had a rabbi in Alaska named Mr. Prime Rib.
No, he did not. He said it's a restaurant. Let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. See, that's the other thing. If you're going to serve horse... and you are serving horse in a restaurant, obviously, and you have Jewish customers, and they are keeping kosher, you have to be able to assure them that that is a kosher meal. Although I don't really know if someone is strict kosher, if is on a strict kosher diet, if they're going to a steakhouse, or maybe. 877-876-PHIL is horse, and Ted Bell is going to be selling horse meat in his restaurant. Do you want to know that's what you're eating? If it's a good steak, does it matter to you whether it came from a steer or a horse? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You gotta come to Ted's. You must come to Ted's and have a steak. Have one of our Ted's specials.
Here at Ted's.
Let's not talk about where it's from. Let's talk about where it's going into your stomach. And have a drink in our prime rib room, Phil. We got a great weekend of football coming up. I love this time of year.
I do too. It's playoff time. It's right around the corner.
Playoff time is around the corner. I love this time of year with the bowl games. And SC is playing, I think SC is playing Oregon. So if you're in town, if you're in Southern California, wherever you are, you got to pay a visit to California. Come on to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And we do have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies available in our shop.
I want to make a point. You were talking during the break, Phil.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the religious sects and the religious cults in the early part of the 19th century here in America. You were referring to the Great Awakening.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about. I think a lot of what you talk about is very obtuse and very esoteric, and it goes over the heads of a lot of people. And I don't know whether you're trying to make a point about the kosher horse or whatever, but what I'd like you to do is, when you're talking about stuff, even off the air, I want it to be something that I understand. And
I was talking about the Great Awakening as a period in American history. During the period of the Jackson and even before the Jackson presidency, where there was a number of religious sects and religious groups, there's quite a few in America, and we had more cults at that time, in fact, than we probably have now.
No, I understand what that was about, but are you making a comment? Were you talking about the Great Awakening, saying that somebody ought to have a Great Awakening, you know, like because of what I'm eating or what I'm serving, like we need a Great Awakening about that? Or wake up, or something like that.
What do you mean, wake up?
Wake up, Ted selling horse. Is that what you're trying to?
No, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I was discussing with the guys something completely unrelated.
Well, you have had a number of opinions about what we're selling, and that's why I've said I don't want to even mention the word. And
well, you said that much of the product you're selling, this particular meat, some of it comes from thoroughbreds that ran in some of the biggest races in the country. And I don't know that that is actually, I don't think that that's a very positive endorsement, because you're saying, on the one hand, it's a delicious meat and it's lean and it's healthy. And on the other hand, you are invoking, in my mind, images of a sport that I happen to like very much, thoroughbred racing. Okay?
Yeah. So I don't understand.
I just don't like the idea that those beautiful creatures that run around the track, I'm going to have on a plate in front of me.
See, right there. I told you not to do that, and you do it. And
well, you brought up the thoroughbred racing aspect.
I did, yes.
Okay. When I think of thoroughbred horse racing, I think of horses that I've liked. I think of...
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of Foolish Pleasure.
I'm not asking you to come into my restaurant and eat Foolish Pleasure for dinner. What kind of a jackass place? Can you imagine that? Yeah, come on in, folks, and get yourself some Foolish Pleasure stew. What is that? You'd have to be some real jackass. And in fact, one of the things that I had to deal with, and I dealt with this through my attorney, Bill Larson, and I also dealt with it with Frank Gray, who also represents me, we went to court, and I sued one of the other restaurateurs here on the street. I'm not going to mention his name. Because he was letting it out there that Ted Bell is going to be putting jackass on his menu. So, in other words, it wasn't even the aforementioned animal that we're talking about. He said that we were selling jackass, as in literally a jackass.
Like a donkey.
But yeah. Burro. Yeah, go to Ted Bell's. He's serving burro steak. Now, I don't know whether that's any good or not. I don't even want to guess.
Well, what if it was good?
Well, don't start backing me into a corner, okay?
So, in other words, but if it tastes good, you'd serve burro.
I wouldn't go on your show and say I'm serving burro. I would do something in terms of euphemism in the advertising.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to Amy. Amy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yes, hi.
This has been an amazing... hour. I am a first-time listener and caller. Phil, I so commend you, Phil, for how you've handled this entire program. Ted, I'm amazed at how defensive Ted is, and how everything that whatever people say, he twists it and is very defensive when we're trying to learn about this, and if he doesn't like it...
Well, I apologize. I apologize. Let me apologize, and I'm willing to hear anything you've got to say, and the young lady's name is what, Phil?
This is Amy.
Amy, I'm sorry I'm sorry if I've come across... But you understand, I've got competitors of mine that are going door-to-door on my street saying Ted Bell is serving jackass steak.
Well, okay? You know, maybe they mean... And I mean this with no disrespect, but they might be saying, because of your attitude, you sound like a burro. You got angry and when they tried to make a light joke of playing that Mr. Ed
I thought that was uncalled for.
Okay. And then 2 minutes later, you were making a Jewish joke because you thought it was a little lighthearted. Now, you know, it's tit for tat there. You know, if you don't want to make jokes about that, then just talk about your business, and you could say, well, I'd rather not listen to that. The anger that is, I just feel like I kept listening to this, and I keep thinking, oh, my goodness, when he hears this tomorrow, he's really,
I've been in business for a long time. What Jewish jokes did I make, by the way? I have a lot of Jewish customers. I'd be very interested to know, because I don't think I made any per se jokes. I did say something along the lines, well, okay. I said, you know.
Comments? What? I mean, I'm not, I have no intentions of getting into an argument or debate with you. I'm just simply saying.
And I don't mean any disrespect, ma'am, but it sounds like you're blowing your nose with the phone.
Okay.
And this is what you did. You went like, That's what it sounded like.
All right, Ted, let me handle that, okay?
I apologize.
That's okay.
If you can stay close to the phone for us, Amy, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it just sounded like she was rubbing her nose with it.
Phil, yes. I appreciate you helping out here. I just wanted to simply say that it's not fair that you're not being honest of what you're selling in your store, and people are trying to tell you that. And then bottom line, if you listen to this tomorrow and hear how twisted your responses were, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. You're going to be really embarrassed.
Wait a second. What twisted? Ma'am, you're talking to me like I'm some kind of a drooling mongoloid. All I said.
That's not necessary.
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute.
You know what you sound like? You sound like an angry alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
I mean, I happen to be the owner of one of the biggest steakhouses on the West Coast, and you say I sound like an alcoholic.
Well, you ripped into me there in the first part of the hour.
But you know what, Ted? There's the arrogance there. Like, look at me. I have this big business. And whenever somebody says something that you don't understand or you don't want to hear, then you start giving
digs and comments. Do you know what you're doing? Well, but do you know what you're taking on here? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Exactly.
Bill Keller.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And you're laughing at me, and you're laughing at me, and you think you're going to get away with that. How?
Look at Ted.
No, hold on, Phil.
You know what? I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing.
I am laughing at the comments that you are making.
You are laughing at Ted Bell. And Ted Bell.
You know what?
And I can tell
Amy
you this:
when you're talking,
Amy can handle herself.
All right.
With
you know
Ted
what?
Bell.
Hey, okay. Guess what?
Hey, Phil.
You're never ever coming into my restaurant. Never.
Sweetie, I have no intention of coming to your restaurant. Phil,
thank you very much. You'll never get in. I'll never let you in. And if I know you're in the restaurant, I'll have you bodily removed.
Oh boy. How did we get to this point? This is ridiculous, okay?
So all the Amy's you're going to remove from your restaurant. Hey, Phil,
I'll know it's you. No, I'll know it's you from the attitude. But I will tell you this, Amy.
Hey, Phil,
I don't serve jackass steak. I serve the other kind.
Horse.
And I told you not to say that.
Horse. Why? That's what you're telling. If you're going to
Okay, thank you very much. Are you going to hang up on her? Are you going to hang up on her? Or do I have to drive to her house and rip her phone out of the wall?
Wow. Hey, Phil.
Don't give me that wow. You were the one that called me a jackass. You're the one that started this.
Okay, look at Amy. Thank you.
Where's she calling from?
I'm not telling you.
I demand to know where you're calling from.
Don't tell him where you're calling. Amy, thank you very much. Good call. 877-876 Phil. Good night.
So you refused to tell me where she was calling from. Excuse me.
Have you been drinking?
You know, Phil, I'm not going to make that the issue here, okay?
Have you been drinking?
I've had a couple of drinks, yeah. Am I not allowed? I work my ass off.
When you come on my show and you're going to be answering questions.
I had a couple of pops, okay? okay? It's been a very tough week. God! I pulled down a bottle of Knob Creek, and you want to know something? I poured myself more than one. That's right. I had a couple. And I'll tell you something else. 12-year-old stuff. You want to hear more?
No, I don't want to hear more. If you want to have a couple of pops and you got off work, that's fine. Don't belch into the phone to let the whole world know it, if you don't mind.
I apologize. I didn't know that was coming out.
And the lady's right. I don't think you're an alcoholic, but you sound like you're raging drunk in that very first segment in the hour.
Well, you might as well tell people I'm an alcoholic.
All right, let's take a break here before I... 877-876-PHIL.
Remember, you hang up?
Don't hang up on him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How'd you like that?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, and this weekend we are going to roll out our Ted special 12 and 8 ounce steaks. Absolutely delicious with the Ted barbecue sauce. And get a Ted with that. That, of course, is our rum and coke. And we got some football this weekend, Phil, and we have the college games on Saturday. And I have, to answer your question, the Dunphy brothers who were in that weekend. You remember the Stanford game?
Well, I know that you lost some money to them.
I did. They're coming in this weekend, and they have promised me a rematch, if you will. They're taking Oregon. And I lost a pile of money to them on the UCLA game. And
you didn't take UCLA, did you?
Well, yes, I did, because I graduated from there. Wow. Of course I did.
I didn't know. I apologize.
Well, no, I told you I graduated from UCLA.
You did, and I forgot, and it would be natural, but did you get points?
No, I don't do that. Look, I bet on my alma mater. It was a disgrace. It was humiliating. That's two times now the Dunphys have been in on a Saturday night and have taken every bit of actual folding and spending money I've got. I find that amazing because I never go out of the house with less say, than $1,000 in cash. I always keep cash on me, and I keep a good amount of cash on me. And every single time I've bet those two guys, that's been three times this year, they have cleaned me out of everything I've had on me. Because that's what I bet. I
generally bet what you're carrying.
Yeah. It's just about a $1,000 bet.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, I mean, unless you got that UCLA-SC game and you didn't get any points.
What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you that SC was a heavy favorite in the game.
Care, it's the USC-UCLA game. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I know what that is. It's a big crosstown game, and I get it. But SC's a heavily favored team. They're on a roll.
That game, you throw all the stats out. Boy, I thought you knew something about football. That's too bad. I really thought you knew something about football. Apparently you don't.
No, I know about football. You're telling me you throw the stats out in a game like that? Yes, you're right, you do. But I did not know... All right.
You're full of a lot of opinions tonight, Phil, and unfortunately, all of them are pissing me off.
Sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to another caller here. We have Ian. Ian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How's it going, Phil? Thanks for having me on.
Good, thank you. Good.
I'm actually just curious, Ted, as far as... you said that you were coming onto the program to kind of promote the fact that, you know, Congress has... is potentially going to allow horse meat to be sold, and, you know, you seem to be selling that product. You don't really seem to be behind it. I don't know why you're so defensive about what people think about the product and why you're not going to share with your consumers what you're selling. It seems that you should be standing behind the product and voicing strongly that you believe in the product. Otherwise, you're
contributing to the negative. I do. 100%.
It sounds like you're contributing to the negative pool with all this fear, and like you don't want to call it force. You're contributing to the negative kind of energy that it seems to have right now.
Well, I'll tell you. Your name's Ian? Ian.
Yes.
I believe in business. I believe in consumer confidence. I don't know that I relate necessarily to the term negative energy. I don't really know what you mean by that. But let's just say that I do support my product at 150%. We are excited this weekend. We're going to have on our menu our TED special, which is a 12-ounce or 8-ounce. So I don't know what you mean that I'm not supporting it.
Well, he means by the fact that you don't want to mention the word horse.
Boy, you repeatedly...
You guys will do anything you can. You'll do anything you can to stick that word in there, won't you?
The product. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about horse meat, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In Japan, they serve basashi, which is basically just raw, thinly sliced horse. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the product.
Can I tell you something? Because I've been in the restaurant business a long time. Anytime you mention Japan and food, Westerners, they don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Even though we do eat sushi, when you say Japan and food, most Westerners are thinking of octopus and a lot of slop that they don't want to go near. So
octopus is called taco. I'm familiar.
Yeah, well, that's fine, and you may like it, but most Americans, when you say Japan and you say, food, most people think of slop, unedible slop.
Well, I don't.
I disagree with that. I think of sushi. I've worked for many sushi bar chains in this country. I'm a bar manager, and I've opened many restaurants with many other businessmen, and I don't understand that concept. You seem very guarded about your opinion of what people think.
Most people, because I'm a restaurateur myself, most people, when they think of Japan and food, they think of really weird seafood that you got to eat raw, and it's just vile. So nothing you can keep down. Nothing a white man can keep down.
And what market pool are you sourcing this from? God.
What are you talking about, Phil?
What do you mean nothing a white man could keep down?
I mean a Westerner, okay?
Well, you know there's all kinds of colors of people.
All kinds of colored people? Wow. Did you hear what he just said?
I said there's all kinds of colored people here.
Colored people.
You know, Ted, we can do this dance all you want, but the point that this gentleman is making is that he disagrees with you. He's in the restaurant business. He's a bar manager. He's worked in Japanese restaurants. He's served to Westerners, and he finds many people like that food.
Well, maybe it's a steakhouse thing. I mean, a lot of the people come into steakhouses, they like Western food. They like American steak. And when you say to them, oh, hey, there's a Japanese place, it doesn't register. All they're thinking about is poison. They think they're going to eat something that's going to poison them.
Where is this market pool from? I would like to know where this information comes from.
I just told you. There's steakhouse people. Now, so I'm going to sell them a steak. You want me to come up to the guy and say, hi, welcome to Ted's where we serve horse. That's what you want me to do? I don't think so.
I think that it's very fair to your customers to tell them what you're serving. And if you want to take a French term for horse, if you want to take a term from another country, if you just don't want to call it that and call it by its other name, then that'd be fine. But
I don't understand something. I don't understand this. You got, first of all, you're telling me what the Japanese think. Now you're bringing in the French. You know, we're in America, right? You check that out?
Absolutely. And what is America outside of a melting pot?
A place where you eat steak?
Absolutely. And guess what? You want to serve horse, and that's fine. But you need to tell people that you're serving them horse.
Would you tell your callers not to say that?
No, I'm not going to tell my callers that. No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, and I'm telling this
Phil's
guy,
been pretty gracious,
horse.
And you've been pretty rude during this program, so...
No, I have not. I'm trying to tell the guy, don't say horse, and you come on and you keep saying it.
Well, now you're saying it.
God!
That's the whole point of the conversation, is about horse, isn't it?
Would you stop with the horse?
Phil Hendry.